We are now recording, so I'm just going to rock the intro, and we'll get going, and then we'll just trim off any fat we don't need. Yeah.
Thank you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Nomadcast. I messed that up entirely. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Nomadcast. My name is Caleb Enfield, and I'm the host of this show. This is a show where I use my free time to talk to Native American people about whatever they're up to and just whatever else comes up. It's a conversation-driven show, and today I have a super cool guest on with me. Someone that I've had on several times and someone that I'm sure will come on a lot more because I just really like what he's doing and he's always up to something cool. And his name is Dr. Lee Francis IV. He's a owner of a comic shop and of a publishing company. And we're going to get into all that today. And I'm really excited to talk with him, but really just excited about all the projects he's working on and hearing about all that so that we can spread the word and get all that good stuff out there. Anything I'm missing, Lee? I know it's kind of bullet points, but now that you've been on a few times, I don't know if we need to.
We don't need to go into too much. Guatsi, the Watch Drop. It's great to hear you, man. This is great to see you as well. I'm excited to be back on again. And happy feast day to all of my my relatives from my Akume relatives. So it's Akume feast day today. They were going all digital and feast virtual. As we adapt to these new times, as our people have always done. So I send out my blessings and to all of our folks out there. So, yeah.
What is feast day? What is that?
So our feast days are our traditional celebrations at home. It's when we sort of like we have fall and spring feasts and our traditional dances. And there's a lot of things that go on ceremonially, community wise. It was usually always a community gathering time. Obviously, that's not the case right now. Simply because we're not all getting together and everybody's trying to make sure that our community stays safe. So we're finding other ways. We're finding other ways to continue to be together, to continue to offer our blessings and our prayer thoughts to each other and to all of creation. And so that's Akuma. My family's from Laguna, and I got family members in Akuma as well. So it's just down the road from us. And so that's it. Today's their day. Today's their fall day.
That's amazing. One second. I'm having a little bit of an issue on my end. Just trying to hash it out real quick.
Sounds good.
Still, like you said, it's a learning curve for everything. And I think this is no exception, you know?
All right.
Okay. Yeah. No, anyway, that sounds amazing, man. I'm really glad that they're finding a way to celebrate that because that's not stuff that's easy to give up. That's not stuff that you should give up. That's not anything that you should ever willingly let go of, you know? So I'm really glad that your community, I was going to say that community, found a way to celebrate their feast day. That's really incredible.
My related community, absolutely. And I think that's one of the main things that we always talk about is not only the resiliency of the community in times of strife, in times of crisis, but the fact that we continue on, right? Like you don't stop dancing, you don't stop singing, you don't stop your prayers and your honorings. If something doesn't quite work, it's not supposed to be perfect. Creator put this in front of us. They put it out there for us to be able to overcome and to use our heads to do that. And if it adapts and it changes, then it adapts and changes. And hopefully we continue to bring our culture and traditions with us. That's the whole point, right? So it's amazing to see. And I got friends that were doing video work on it today. Shout out to John Sims, and to John Ray who are doing video work on it today. They're two great guys and it's brilliant to see how our communities have been responding in incredibly positive ways. Especially in the faces of all the challenges that we have due to colonization, due to, the systems, the inequitable systems that have been put in place.
Yeah, that's it's been a really big topic recently, all of that stuff, all of that whole jar of whatever, you know. And I agree. I think it's really incredible. And I think it's I don't know if I want to even, put a word to it because I don't know if I know enough about it to even say anything, to be completely honest. But just the whole, like you said, it's resilience, but also what really impresses me is even with so much going on, people are finding reasons to celebrate. And that's really powerful to me because you've been with me the last couple of years, you've seen what I've been through and kind of play, even though it's been from like a, third person perspective, it's you've still been able to see a lot of it. And I've kind of been on, you know, a downward spiral mentally, emotionally, all kinds of ways. Well, I mean, that's putting it really like bluntly and out there.
Absolutely.
But I've just been kind of not myself, been myself, is a better way to put it, a more delicate way to put it, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And I kind of reconnected with like the podcast and the community and stuff around it and the people that are doing things in that space and seeing just so much good work and so much, this was months ago, and just seeing people celebrating things in their own spaces. And that's just incredible. And it kind of inspired me to come back, and it's really empowering to hear other people doing things like feast day or celebrating even through adversity, because that's kind of fuel to the fire that's been, you know, pushing me forward these past few months. Cause it's been tough. It's been really tough. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And I've been following your journey and, you know, sending the best, you know, thoughts and blessings and thoughts that I could your way. But what's brilliant for me to see is your lived experience as difficult as it has been, that resilience is, I think it's wedded to our DNA at this point. Right. And so it's something that you were able to, you know, like draw deep, like it's in the mitochondria, right? Like you're just like, oh, it's terrible. It's awful. And then right in there's that little spark, that little powerhouse, like pops up. And it's like, shut up, get to work. And you're just like, okay, I got to go work. I got to get some things done. I can't wait around in this space. And so, you know, I think it's there for you. And I'm honored and thrilled to be back on the show. And I love seeing the work, you know, I mean, way back, dude, I was just like, any way I can do to support it. So I'm glad we can still be here to celebrate together and to celebrate your work and keep moving forward.
Me too, man. And it's interesting you say that because when I talked to one of the therapists in the hospital about it, they were kind of asking about if I had ever thought about giving up or anything. And it just had never occurred to me, you know, it was never an option. You know, it's like plan A is to survive and plan B is enforcing plan A. You know, there's not a way to go about it. You know, I'm getting out of this.
Right.
So it's just really interesting because that opens my eyes to like other people do have those conversations realistically, because that's not something that ever occurred to me.
Right.
Yeah. And that's wild. But anyway, yeah, man, I'm glad to be here. Glad to be vertical still. Glad to be talking to you.
Yes, sir.
So excited, man. You've got so much going on. What's going on with you, man?
Oh, geez. Well, you know, we're back up and running again with the shop. We had our enforced hiatus, as with the rest of the world, but Red Planet Books and Comics weathered the storm. So we're still there. We were during the whole shutdown time, we were still getting books out to folks, doing a lot of like media and marketing, letting people know we're still around, building up our stock. So we have even more comics in stock now, which is great. Even more books to be able to get out to community folks. And finished up a Kickstarter for a new game. It's just a basic kids game called Indigimatch. So, you know, it's just a real simple matching game for young kiddos, right? So, but featuring like native heroes, both from our history and our present. So a new way to kind of inspire, right? Because there's just not a lot of media still out there for us. You know, what else are we doing? We're still trying to figure out what Indigipop X is looking like for next year, because we had to shut down right at the beginning of the whole pandemic. It was it was like 2 weeks before for us launching, and everything got crazy. But we're gonna still come back. We're starting to kind of gear up for plans. It's still fuzzy. It's foggy out there because we don't know what the spring is quite gonna look like, because we don't even know what the fall is quite gonna look like anymore. So, you know,
we don't know what tomorrow's gonna look like.
We don't know what tomorrow's gonna look like. So we're still trying to figure it out, but it's still in the works. And and then, you know, we're still just, there's some really great ideas that we've got. We're coming into October. We're trying to put together a small comic book for fun and for families called Trickster Tales to Terrify, which will be fun little read through, you know, just enjoyable. Like we're not trying to like, you know, creep anybody out. We're just having a lot of fun with it. So we're trying to get that together. That's just new. That's new on this deck. We're going to be working that through the month. And then we just all of the sort of changes in the world and where we're going to be, you know, promoting diverse readings, promoting more native folks into community stuff. The Marvel comic came out, You know, we've worked with everybody. We didn't work directly on it. Obviously, that's a Marvel gig. But you know, all the folks that are in it, we're champions for it. We're carrying it in the shop. We'll have all the variants on the covers. You know, so it's really, I would say, hopeful. In some ways, a very hopeful time, and a very exciting time. I have been as Native people, we've been hopeful before, but I'm hopeful, and I know that in order to make this work, I've got to do work as well for this, so that we can keep moving on all of this progress that's been made. So, man, yeah, that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah, you've been busy, man. So let's unpack some of this. I hadn't ever thought about this, but what's it like owning a business during COVID, especially an old brick and mortar one like you have?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. You know, we started to see the writing on the wall, you know, early March, before everything started to go. And it was kind of tied into, so not only IPX was tied into sort of our timing for our reopening, because we had closed the shop during the winter because we didn't have any heat in the shop. So it was like we were opening kind of on special occasions, like we'd open for a weekend or like Valentine's Day, or, you know, just because it's too cold and it's too expensive to operate with, you know, 8 space heaters in the space, right? We couldn't heat the space. And, you know, our landlords are great. They're really cool. But it's just it was going to take a whole refurb of the whole building. So it was just like, all right, we got to figure something else out. So we're like, we're going to close it down. We're going to figure out, give them some time to do some things, make some adjustments, and then we're going to reopen right after IPX was out. And that didn't happen until like, you know, June, right? And that was going to be our third anniversary too, because that would have been our third year of being open. So we kind of went back, had to rethink several things about how we were going to push forward, just in terms of, you know, revenue, people in the shop, how we were going to run that, how we could run that. As we sort of rethought everything, what we really focused on was how we could continue to get our name out there, how we could continue to be in the conversation. As Red Planet, I was still giving virtual talks, a lot of virtual and digital talks, and then really focusing on how we could start meeting the needs of Native communities for book ordering. One of the things that we had wanted to do from last year was start distributing. So really working on distribution, out of publishing companies that, you know, that are publishing Native works, because it's one of the main barriers still to that, I'll say that sort of economic sovereignty, in terms of indigenous ideas, right? So we have the creative stuff, so we can create everything, and we have a marketplace, which is us and several other Native bookstores and, you know, some other publishers that are doing this stuff. But in terms of getting into the hands of a whole bunch of people, and getting to the hands of like Native kids and Native schools and all the rest of that, you know, it's still a barrier because there's a few distributors, right? And those are the ones that sort of they're the gatekeepers, right? So we really started to figure out how we could cultivate our own audience to be able to get the books to them that they would need and or want. So that was our big focus. And then so we really pushed that, still delivering. You know, it was like a low simmer. We turned everything down to a low simmer. It was like, I guess we'll take a little bit of time off. This has been nice, I think. I don't know. and then June rolls around and we're able to open back up. So the state, you know, of New Mexico sort of eased up some of the restrictions for retail spaces. So we opened back up. We can allow about 1 to 2 people into the space. We rearranged the bookstore a little bit. So we've got kind of like the space is subdivided in half. So we have a much more narrow front space, but the back space is really built for like storage and shipping and all the rest of that. We've had some folks come in. It's been, you know, fairly consistent. Good. There hasn't been like some, you know, there hasn't been any major like dead spots, if you will, of, you know, bad analogy. There haven't been any like, you know, empty spaces, people coming to the shop. And what I'm finding is more people are coming directly and deliberately to the shop, rather than, you know, sort of passersby, which foot traffic is really always important in terms of retail. But what we're getting is people that are coming down to the shop to specifically buy stuff.
To spend money. Yeah, that's good.
To spend money. So in that sense, it's a lot more targeted. So when somebody walks in, they're not walking in because they're just kind of like browsing. They're walking in so we're not having to expense out extra days, right? Does that make sense? Like, we're not having to just keep the doors open and the lights on because hopefully somebody will come down and potentially buy something that day. But it's more of like the lights are on, the doors are open, somebody comes in and they're like, I want that and that and that. Ooh, and can you tell me about something else? And then they'll buy that too, right? And so here we are. We're still rocking and rolling, and shop is still open, and we actually are moving. We're going to start back moving back into our weekend hours again. So we're going to be opening back up right now. We're just Wednesday through Friday. Starting this next weekend, we're going to be opening our Saturday back up again. So we're getting there slowly. We want to also make sure that we're taking care of our community. That's important to us. So, you know, mask up one person at a time in the shop. As we've told people, don't pick a fight. Like you don't want to mess with any of the people in the shop because they'll pitch you. You know, it's like, we're not here to pick a fight. If you, if you're not wanting to mask up, then if you forgot, we may say like, okay, just, you know, like be chill, come back. Or like, you know, if you can just come in quick or whatever. But like, if somebody's there is like, that's my amendment, right? It's like, dude, just, it's not. So I'm not gonna put anybody at risk, and and you can come back later. And if you're here to pick a fight, then that's something completely different. So, you know, we'll try and,
yeah,
we'll
that's
try
something and, I can't and, even imagine navigating.
Well, I'm like, you know, we haven't had to, so it's been great. And again, we're a small, like, who's going to come on over there? I mean, after hearing this, they may be like, oh, I'll go pick up. And I was like, ah, you don't want to do that, because we got some really good people in the shop, and they're ninjas. So, you know, but we'll try and dissuade everyone gently from doing anything like that, because I don't think there's a need for it. We're all nerds. We all want to hang out. You may have political affinities that directly contradict mine. You know, but nonetheless, maybe you'll find something that will enlighten you, and maybe you'll find something in my shop that'll help change your mind and put you on the right path. So, you know, in my direction.
Yeah, it's such a wild time, man. It's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm so glad that you're still open, though. I was really worried that the only brick and mortar things left are going to be McDonald's and Walmart, you know? It's crazy out there. I can't imagine trying to do this.
Taco Bell and KFC.
You can't forget Taco Bell. Yeah.
You got to have Taco Bell. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, it just... It's a worrying time, and I'm glad that you made it, man. Especially because I haven't been able to get to the shop before. When I was out there in Albuquerque last time, I was for IPX, and you guys were all at the
shop was closed for those days. Shop was closed. That much, but
exactly. Yeah, no, so I wasn't able to make it, and I really hope I can make it next time, because it's still open. I have to now. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's where we're encouraging folks of like, hey, yeah. And we're also like, you know, you get into that space where I was making an analogy recently that I feel like in some ways, those of us that can ride out the storm, we end up being like, you know, Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. Right. So I don't know how many folks remember old Forrest Gump. You know, and how he started. It's like,
my mom,
you know,
loves that.
Right. And there's that moment where, you know, he and Lieutenant Dan, you know, go out there in the boat, and they're, you know, riding through the hurricane, and they come back in, and they're the only shrimp boat left, right? I feel like that's kind of, you know, how it is for some of us, right? So that's how it is for some of us that are entrepreneurs. I was like, we're able to make it through the storm, then we're the ones that are left. So it's not, you know, you're going to have to go find, you know, the other bookstores or whatever might not make it, but we're still here. So now you can come see us, and we got books for you.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
So
were you able to make it just based on doing a digital storefront and trying to do things more online? Is that basically how you guys were able to make it then?
Man, we did. We made it by, you know, hand over fist. It was literally, like climbing, not like the money was coming in. It was like, we made it by like, dude, I'm like climbing up the side of a hill. We made it through some grant resources, from, you know, American Booksellers Association. Had some extra money for folks trying to keep independent bookstores open. We were able to find money from the city of Albuquerque. We were able to find money from, you know, great partners with New Mexico Humanities Council. We were able to find like a lot of stuff that we did, out of, cause we have a nonprofit that we're aligned with as well. And so we were able to pull in some of those resources to support native creatives, right? Because that's kind of what this work is all about, right? We have a retail side, but a lot of it was like, here's how we're supporting native creatives by getting work out to them. And that in turn allows us to continue to generate the resources that can keep the doors open. So for example, at the beginning of the pandemic, we created that series of COVID-19 posters, right? So that was a really great way for me to get money, resources. Some of these resources that had come in, I was able to get those out to the artists, we were able to use a little bit for us to be able to keep everything rolling. And then that smoothed the edges because we had resources available, but that smoothed the edges at the front part of it. And then it was just trying to pick back up on the sales. So, it just went blank for about 2 months, right? So mm-hmm. at that point, then we were able to kind of like using those resources is like, okay, here's how we can keep the lights on. I'm not even worried about myself. I'm just like, we got to pay rent, right? We got to keep the lights on for right now. Let's do that. Let's also make sure that our associates are not starving. All of our wonderful illustrators and creatives and writers and everybody work with. And now we can come back to it and make sure they're like, okay, now we can pick up business again. So that's kind of what we did.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. That takes a lot. That took a lot of dedication to work. I'm really proud of you.
Oh, thanks, man. Wow. It's the life work, right? I mean, it's the same where you are with this. It's like, nah, you ain't going to stop me. We're going to keep going, you know, and that's what we're doing. So.
Yeah. But it just, something like, because, I don't know, I've seen a lot of, businesses, you know, just start to just adapt almost totally online and they're kind of mm-hmm. killing their brick and mortar stuff right now because it's so it with that option being so readily available, or at least seemingly so, I don't know how actually readily available that is for something for someone like a small regional bookstore, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just crazy. It's just so much work. I just can't even imagine. I'm so glad that this is easier to manage than that. You know, it's not brick and mortar at all. As long as I have an internet connection, I can do this.
Right. Well, that's also, we started really thinking about, you know, the media too, right? Like how we were going to approach, how we're going to be approaching the media, and how we were going to start getting things out there. So actually I've got a new, I'm filming this next weekend. We're going to be launching just a new series from the shop called Don't Fear a Red Planet. It's me, your video host. I don't know what to call myself, your VJ, I guess I'll go old school. and we're just going to be talking, I'm just going to be having fun in the shop. Right. So if you can't be there in person, we're just going to be kooky, on video and digitally. And so I'm going to show, you know, we're going to talk about books. I'm going to talk about comics. I'm going to hopefully bring on friends as we get a little farther down the line. You know, we can tune them in and it's going to be, you know, it'll be really fun. And so trying to get a new way of engaging an audience, kind of like what you guys like, I don't have to have anybody in the shop if I'm just going to run around being a weird, crazy man, showing you all the comics that I have. We have a segment.
That's exciting.
I've scripted it out. We have a segment on there called, Sexy Bookshelves. So it's basically just us with a camera on our shelves and some sexy music behind it. And you'll get to see some of our books. So that's, I mean, like, we're just going to be really goofy and have a good time with it. So, yeah.
So where's this going to be hosted at? What's the plan? This is really exciting.
Yeah. So it'll be hosted on YouTube. It'll be on our YouTube channel for Red Planet Books, which is pretty empty right now. So don't go check it out right now. This is really going to launch our YouTube channel to get that out there. And then we'll link it over to IPX and our Native Realities channels as well. You know, as a way to just kind of get out there and do some fun stuff. We also actually have, some fun resources coming up for, out of the nonprofit side for WordCraft Circle. We have some, resources coming up for young people. So I got a bunch of all of my amazing creative friends here in Albuquerque, to record some video for us around various topics. And so we're going to have like a little intro lead in, and then these professionals, these native creatives are going to be talking about their work. And then we have a little, like a workshop type of something, right? Very simple. So for example, we have one, with one of my friends, who's indigenous, Mexican, Mark Truman, runs an amazing gaming company called Magpie Games. He graciously, filmed for us about making games, right? So what he does for a living. So we're going to do some fun game creation, right? So a game creation activity. So all of this stuff is coming out, right? It is in many ways, we've moved into this digital world and capitalizing on that digital space is also going to become parallel important to what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think companies that are more willing or more able to adapt to a digital space are definitely in a better position. You know, and I think that just your ingenuity and creativity are lending itself to that because you've already had good ideas for brick and mortar. It's, you know, after so many good ideas just start to come more natural even on even in a digital space where it's a little foreign. It's pretty but it's pretty intimidating. I mean you're sitting here talking about all these things that you're doing, and I mean there's so many pieces that have to fall into place for these things to be possible. You know, you've had to be in so many, you have to know so many people, you have to have so many connections. It's just crazy because it just kind of speaks to the work that you've done over your life, because you have these connections, you have the ability to do these things now, you know, you've paid your dues. It's pretty inspiring.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, we can say, you know, paying the dues, you know, I've worked hard for it. I also think it truly strikes at the heart of indigeneity, which is it's about building the relationships, right? So relationship being one of those, you know, one of those key components when we talk about indigenous philosophy or, you know, indigenous epistemology, when we're looking at that the aspect of relationship and relationality in parallel or in sync with indigeneity is how we get things done, right? It's and especially being, you know, a marginalized group, but also a small group in a professional sense, right? So when you're a native professional working in the comic book industry, there's a small group of you, you know? When you're a native bookstore owner, there's a small group of you. And so when you show up to these places or when you're doing these types of things, you start, you know, sending out all of these roots, because it is the only way that you are going to survive. So it's a way that you can say, like, oh, here's this really cool thing we're going to do. You know, and I already know this person, and I know that person because I've met them over here, and I went to this. I mean, you know, you wouldn't think a bookseller would go to like a native gaming conference, right? But I've been to native gaming conferences. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's resources there, not just even the gaming resources, but people that are like, oh, that's really exciting, you know, or oh, this would be really interesting for you to talk about, or et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, so it's the lived part of this. Is really living in a way that honors our ancestral learning, right? Because this is what we've known from time immemorial, is that you build relationships and strong networks to survive and thrive, right? That's why we're still here. People they tried to get rid of us, they couldn't. We're still here, and a lot of having to do because of the strength of the relationships that we made for centuries and before. So I think that, you know, that's, and not only that, but it's not like, it's not, for me, it's not cynical in that way, right? It's not like, well, I like I'm collecting Pokemon. It's like, ah, I just scored a relationship +1 points, right? You know, it's like, these are genuine conversations. It's a relationship with you. It's a relationship with other podcasts. It's a relationship with media folks that know that I'm doing this work, right? And they're like, oh, that's right. Sure. I should check in with him, you know, or it's somebody sending me an email being like, oh yeah, you're the guy that does this. We know. So can you help us find other people? And other people that know me or know my family, know my dad, they know the work that I'm doing. And so then they rely on me for things and so on and so forth. And it builds out like this beautiful prism, this beautiful, Mandelbrot, right? I'm trying to think of like, what is that? You know, it's a crystal, right? So it just continues to form and build and grow, into something, incredibly beautiful, and very much with heart at the center of it.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm starting to realize that. I'm starting to see that now that I've been doing this for a couple of years and I've had, you know, a network of guests and people that I can very readily call upon and email or text or even call most of the time and just talk with, you know, and I've texted people out of the blue and they've responded, and it's really cool. It's a really interesting thing because that's not something that was ever present in my life before doing this. I mean, I had my group of friends obviously, but it wasn't something that I was building a network of, you know, powerful minds. That's basically what's going on. You know, I'm just building this network of like incredible people that I know now that all have these resources and ideas or advice. And it's really empowering. And I really can't wait to see where it goes, because it's like you said, you know, my life is forming this, you know, there's a million threads coming together, forming this Gordian knot of, you know, just amazingness. And I just can't wait to see. Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to think of the analogy the whole time too. You were so close though.
Yeah. Fractal. That was the word I was thinking. It's a fractal.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, absolutely. No, I just, it's amazing. It's been incredible. And I'm just starting to realize that on my end, you know, and I'm excited because I'm 27. That means that I've got, you know, however, 100 more years of this, of enjoying talking to people.
Exactly.
And yeah, exactly. I've got so much time to enjoy talking to people and building these relationships and learning and enjoying people's like power, because these people bring light and power to my show and my life. And I just feel so refreshed after it. You know, it's amazing. It's incredible.
Awesome. Love it.
Excuse me. Anyway, outside of your show, or not your show, your shop, because your shop's been open and fine. How's Native Realities going? What are you guys working on there?
So the Trickster Tales to Terrify is coming out of Native Realities. We've got a couple of things in motion that we've just got to wrap up. It does get, you know, it does, you've got these things on the burner and you're just like, oh, we'll get there eventually. We have a YA novel called Twitch, that we're hoping to put out. So that should be coming in here soon. It is the fall now, I guess. So we're hoping at the end of this month, but it's probably gonna be closer to next month. We'll kind of see what the timing looks like on that. The days, they go by so quick. What else have we got in the tank? We're trying to finish out two projects, or trying to finish out one and then getting one started. The finishing of one is the American Indians of Texas. So it's a comic book that we've had a very small version of that we were cooking on for a while. We're wanting to finish up the expansion, a couple more illustrations for it, and then use it as the template for being able to do that with multiple states, right? So 50 states of Native folks. And so it's a big, long project, and we've kind of outlined some of it. We're still trying to figure out what that looks like in the long term, but we want to get this first book done, out the gate, and that's that. And then, Native Baseball. So we've been working on a Native Baseball, anthology, Native Baseball comic book anthology. So we're hoping that that's going to be a piece. And then some of our games. So we've got one more game that we're trying to develop out. In the meantime, I'm still doing a bunch of writing. I've been doing a bunch of RPG game writing, a bunch of modules that have been coming out. So we did one for, I did one for Cthulhu, which I think is really interesting considering with Lovecraft Country. So I have a very similar type of story, that I wrote for, a gaming adventure. We have one that from, what is it? Devil's Run, which is kind of a post-apocalyptic, Mad Max style America, cars and whatever. And the natives have a part in that as well. And, so that's a little bit of kind of scratching at what we've got. I think those are the major things that we're really looking to try and put out in the world, hopefully sooner rather than later.
What is the inner workings of Native Reality look like? I mean, because you guys have your hands in so many pots. I mean, how do you manage this? This is insane.
Yeah.
Well, it's not something that a normal human can do, Lee.
That's why I got a lot of good friends around. Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we farm out and, you know, quite honestly, there's just times where it's like, I want to meet the certain deadlines, and it's not only but time, but resources, because we've got to scrounge up the resources to be able to pay people, right? It'd be just neat if I could just be like, hey, you want to draw this? You know, and they're just like, cool, I'll draw this. I don't mind not eating for a month. You know, I'm like, I can't do that to an illustrator, right? And especially since we work with Native illustrators.
Yeah, of course.
They got family and they got gigs. So a lot of it is making sure that the resources are in place to be able to do that work first. And so sometimes things just get pushed off. So the ideas are sitting there. And sometimes we've got prototypes for various things. I don't lose track of ideas, although the timing sometimes is like, people are just like, when is this going to happen? I was like, I would like the same thing. As soon as we get $1 million, you know, we'll rock and roll. But
yeah,
you know, I do the best we can, right? We do the best we can, and really try to consolidate it around, direct and specific areas. So for example, the nonprofit is around education. The education is around getting books, right? So we can develop a curriculum that utilizes the books from the shop and the books that we sell. The shop is a home base, and we find the books that we like and we order. That doesn't take too much time. And we sell those out, we promote, right? And then we work on our own creations that we sell in the shop. So really the shop and Red Planet is kind of the center point for all of it. And then everything sort of spins out from that, which is different because when I started, it was Native Realities was the center point for it. And then everything sort of was growing from that to support Native Realities. And now it's become this other thing where we're really just trying to get the books and into the hands of Native people, Native communities, Native kids. And then, you know, by Native, for Native, and about Native. And so everything sort of feeds incredible. Into what is that. By Native, for Native, and about Native. Yeah.
Oh, no. What is getting books into Native kids' hands look like? I mean, I know it's probably different, vastly different for different places, but what have you been able to do so far is basically what I'm asking.
Well, there's two ends, right? So we make book donations. Some of the stuff we did during the pandemic when it first hit was we got comic book. I mean, we just took a stack of a bunch of our comics and we got them. I think we sent them up to San Felipe Pueblo. So, I mean, we're still small, so we can't do, we're not Dolly Parton. We ain't got Dolly Parton money where you can just throw down, you know, millions of dollars of books, but we did what we can for our community as best we could. We worked with Nota Bene, the Third Foundation, and the Americans for Indian Opportunity for some of their distribution. So we sent out coloring pages stickers and crayons. So there were little things that we tried to do with that. So we have a program through the nonprofit where basically it's a donation program. Donate some money, and that supports us just sending books to schools, essentially. We just send a stack of books to schools. That's it. You know, it's really simple. And our comic books. And so it's great. And then on the, on the distribution side, it's really focusing in on how to cultivate the work for Native schools, communities, education centers, what else am I thinking of, museums, et cetera. So it's cultivating the work for what they need. Right. So if you're looking at a Native school, that's a high school, they want Native comics, but they also just want comics, right? Because we're just trying to get Native kids to read, right? So
yeah, I mean, 100%.
So we kind of, because what I've always been looking to do is to associate Native comic book work with mainstream comic book work. So it's not like, oh, well, it's Native, so we only have Native comics. It's like, no, I want Native comics that we sell to stand right alongside Iron Man and Batman. Right.
Yeah. I understand that on a personal level. I've stopped describing this to people as like a Native podcast for that exact reason, because I don't want to be put into a category by myself, because I'm the one that called it that at first, you know, but I was putting myself into a category and giving myself a smaller audience. And it's like, I've shared this recently with a bunch of friends that are non-Native and they've been really enjoying it. At least, I mean, they could be just being nice, but they've been saying, you know, good things. And that's important to me because I agree. I think that that it's important, obviously, that your comic books are by Native people, but they should be consumed and enjoyed as voraciously as everything else because they're just as good as everything else, you know?
Well, and the fact that somebody like somebody like you or Native kids, it also means that we don't isolate you. You're a nerd. So you still want to read you still may like Iron Man, right? It doesn't mean that we don't do that, you know, but what I think I'm really proud about of what we've done in the shop too, is that we also try to privilege the stuff that you might not find at, say, your mainstream comic shop, you know, your standard brick and mortar that's really going to appeal to, and I hate to say it because I love many of my comic shops here, that's going to appeal to young white men, right? That's what they're going to put on the shelves. Well, that's never been our demographic, right? I mean, it can be, and we don't alienate those folks. In fact, we want them to come in because you'll see some really cool stuff and maybe be exposed to stuff you've never been exposed to before. So, but we're going to carry primarily Native works, and then moving down the list, works by creators of color, works featuring, characters of color or marginalized characters of color, or women, or, you know, differently abled, or, you know, et cetera. And then of course we still carry the stock stuff. I mean, like, man, we got Watchmen, we got Akira, we got, you know, the Iron Man anthology, Carrie Calvin and Hobbes. I'm like, we got fun stuff, right? Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Because if you're an indigenous nerd, it's that you want to see positive Native representations in popular and mainstream media, especially comics. But you also want to just, you know, if you're that native nerd, you want to come in and be like, hey, can I get a hold of, you know, The Walking Dead? And we'll be like, absolutely, native nerd. Here you are, you know? So that's what, you know, that's what I've always wanted to do.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because obviously we all have roots in that stuff, because our whole goal now is to create representation, right? So obviously it wasn't there when we were kids. So that's all the stuff we grew up on. It makes sense that you would carry it all, for sure. That's crazy, man. All this, it just blows my mind, because the amount of responsibility that I have in my life right now, comparatively to you, because work from home for me has been a lot of checking emails and waiting for things to happen, because no one knows what's happening, like you said. So it's been a lot of, you know, we're in totally different spaces right now, man. I'm really intimidated by the life you're living. How's it been affecting you? Yeah. How's it been affecting you? Because I mean, this is all talk about businesses and stuff, but how are you doing?
Good. I think it's hard to tell, right? Because it is so new and so fresh. So there's not a lot of points of reference. You know, I think like most of us, I have my moments. When I struggle and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I have my son and trying to be a good dad and figure out with him. And I have my moments where, you know, I go into my office after he's in bed at 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch a movie. I know I've got 55 mm-hmm. emails to answer. I'm not going to. So, you know, I mean, we'll call it that self-care, I guess. But there's also that part that, you know, you're just trying to, it's in some ways fumbling in the dark. And sometimes there's a little bit of light you can see around you, and then it all go, you know, and then the lights go out again, and you're like, okay, well, I think I have a point of reference. I'm going to be a little more tentative and move a little forward cautiously, carefully, so I don't bump into things or break myself. And I think that's where I've been. I'm no different than many of my other friends. And God, I know, you know, some of the folks we work with that have like 3 and 4 children, and they're all in an apartment. And I'm like, I can't even, you know, I'm blessed to have a house and, you know, an office that I can escape to when I need to. So that's nice. And so I'm always conscious of that as well. And so I think that, you know, I have my own self-care, but I also have my own, there's a pervading sense of gratitude, for the life that I am able to lead. And an amazing amount of empathy, for those that have had to be on either frontline workers or essential workers or, you know, small spaces with lots of family, during all of this. So, you know, I feel my obligation is like, well, okay, I'll take a little bit of a break. Then I got to get back to work so that I can continue for those folks that I work with to try and do the best I can to make it easier to find resources to do whatever I can.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. And also just based on like your personality, it seems like making progress on something is probably very rewarding in itself, you know? So I feel like just staying busy is probably its own reward.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's something that I'm starting to realize recently. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say one of the best jokes at the beginning of this was the people that know me. It showed up on my Facebook feed. It was Dale DeForest, and Dale was like, "Man, you know it's bad when Lee Francis has to stay put and sit still in one place." And I was like, "That's all I could do was laugh." I was like, "You're not wrong. That's about right, man." I'm like, "You know it's for real. You know we're in a pandemic when I got to stay still." You know,
well, yeah, for someone with their hand in so many things at one time, you've got to hustle, you've got to be moving, or it's going to fall apart. So I can't imagine.
Yeah. So, you know, and we keep kind of doing the work, and I've got other people that I look at that I'm like, dang, you need to, like, it's even funnier when there's like, cause I look at what I do and I'm just rolling along. Right. And then I look at somebody like, you know, Elizabeth LaPonce, and she's creating art and teaching class and she's, you know, just written a paper. And I was just like, you're making it hard for me. Stop. Slow down. Like somebody like that, you know, I look at her as like this model of like, dang, and she's got kids and she's, you know, a gamer. And I'm like, yo, I'm in like, shoot, then I got to pick up my pace, you know? So like in that way, and not in a bad way, you know, but in a way that's just like, all right, listen, if she can do it, and she's got, you know, she's got all sorts of other things, then who am I to what am I going to put my feet up and, you know, and get my bonbons by the pool? Nah, I got work to do, and I got good work to do and fun work to do. So let's get to it, you know?
Yeah, no, I've kind of started to be more conscious of how I'm spending my time, because during quarantine, it's very easy to sit down and watch a movie and turn into three movies. You know what I mean? Or, you know, because you don't have anything to do. You just got to make dinner.
Yeah.
You know, at that, the rest of the day, you're just sitting around. So I've tried to be more conscious of that. And it's a lot harder than I thought it would be, because trying to motivate yourself because right now there's not a lot of motivation, right? Because you're not really allowed to do anything. You're not really able to go anywhere. It's just a really strange time.
Yeah.
And thinking about starting anything new right now just feels weird, because it doesn't feel like there's any chance of, you know, things taking off in a traditional sense anyway. So trying to find my balance between work and play has been hard, because right now there's not really an incentive for work,
right?
Outside of, you know, so I've had a really hard time with it. So talking with someone like you has been really, really, it kind of empowers me to make these decisions more actively, because I mean, I see you doing things and making these choices on your own time and, you know, making sure that you have things to occupy this time effectively, even if it's not going to be the most impactful like it was in the past, at least you're doing something. You're not, you know, because treading water is akin to drowning, you know, and that's what I feel like I'm doing right now.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, there's a part where I think it's what are folks saying? They're just like, all right, yeah, and that's cool. In the sense of like, you need that moment. You need that moment where you're just like, okay, I gotta get my bearings. Right. Like you gotta, when you're treading water, you're trying to, if you're really working through it, you're trying to figure out what the next step is, either to get you out of the pool or to get you back to dry land in some way, you know, but that's, you're trying to, assess the situation. Right. So I think at a certain point it's like, okay, there's the situation. That's cool. I'm going to do this for a little bit longer. And then, and now I see the sharks. All right, got to get moving, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's also the part where you're looking at being just like, oh dude, that guy next to me just lapped me. It's on your left, you know, just lap me again. All right, I'm going to get back to it, you know? And I think it's that part of that we've all been in sort of an assessment phase, and we're still trying to, because the information's coming so fast. So I don't, you know, I never look at anybody being like, why aren't you picking up the pace? I was like, man, do what you need to do so that you can be ready when you have all the information and a little bit of the chaos is, you know, at least gives you a clear path forward. Now it's time to go. You're just storing up energy, right? Treading water is also saving energy, because if you're flailing about, then you're definitely going to drown, right?
Yeah.
So treading is in my mind is often like, okay, you're on computer standby. You're trying to conserve some energy so that when it's time to hit and you see the shark, or you see the clear path forward, or there's the island, you're on, you're gone, and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, see, and I feel like I've just been I feel like there's been a lot of treading in the last few months. Just, and I mean, it's not my fault or anyone's fault. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's quarantine. It is what it is.
And it's quarantine.
And I'm trying to find ways to effectively get out of that, because it's really easy to be ineffective right now, as I've learned in the past few months. You know, it's really easy to do nothing all day, and I really hate that. I really... Yeah. Realizing that about yourself is a really crazy thing. So, that's why I've started up Nomadcast, and that's why I'm like really happy to be talking to you, because you have so many inspiring things that you're working on. It's really powerful.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Anyway, outside of Native Reality and your bookshop, your other big thing you got going on usually is Indigenous Comic Con. What can you? Or Indigenous, is it Pop Expo now?
I can't remember which way
it switched.
Yeah, okay, Pop
Indigenous
Expo.
Pop Expo. Excuse me.
Yeah.
How's the? What's that look like? Are you guys trying to occupy the digital space this year? I mean, obviously, it's not until spring, so.
We were hoping things would clear up. That didn't happen. We can't really host anything in the state anyway. So we're still looking for the spring. We don't know what that's going to look like. A lot of it's really just a question mark at this point. We've been having the beginnings of conversations. I mean, it's in some ways, it's just kind of like I'm looking at the clock being like, man, we're like 6 months out. And I don't even know entirely what we're doing just yet. Simply because I don't even have answers from the state just yet. Like they're opening up a few things, but we don't know what that's going to look like in 6 months any more than we did what it looked like 6 months ago, right? 6 months ago, this started. What is that going to look like 6 months going forward? So, we have some ideas, and I think there might be a hybrid approach because there's some interesting things I think that we can do in the digital world that could be really cool, and both out of necessity, but also out of, just trying some stuff out. So, we actually just started sitting down and doing some plotting this week. So we're hopefully going to have some more concepts coming out within the month. To get back to everybody with, from our supporters, our vendors, our sponsors, everybody to be able to say, okay, we're starting to get a little bit of a plan. So we're going to start like this. And then if it can go further, then we'll do this. If not, then we're going to do this. So it's just trying to figure out what all those variables are. And once we have a better handle on that, then we're going to be able to move forward.
I think this is cool. I think it's a super good opportunity too. I think, adapting to a digital format will be useful even after COVID's over because you're going to be able to offer this to all those people that don't have the opportunity to travel to go to one of these events. It's so cool. Yeah. I think this is a big win, and it's just, it's just surrounded by a big loss. I think this is a positive, honestly.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's something we've kind of wanted to hit since year one, where I was really being like, hey, let's figure out a way to, live stream this. And I was like, hey, I don't have the bandwidth both physically and also in the location we were at to live stream this. So it was, it was not quite workable, but it seems like there's more options now. So we're going to try and figure out what those options are.
Yeah, well, in the past few months, all these companies have made huge improvements to all their infrastructure because of COVID. So now you guys have so many options, I feel like. I feel like the barrier for entry has gone down because of how easy some of these companies have had to make it.
Yeah, and out of necessity, right? So I think we can benefit from some of that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think this is good, because once these lessons are learned, that's forever. You can do this. Right. That's the best part about learning how to do something new. It's forever. That's your lesson now. Right. You can do this forever and provide for yourself. And it's really incredible. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Are you nervous that it's going to continue? Are you nervous that you're not going to be able to do this or?
No, I think I don't know. I'm not thinking about it too much. I don't know if I'm nervous or not. I'm just kind of like, I'm going to ride the train till the wheels fall off, honestly. as long as it's still going, I'm not really thinking about the nerves quite yet. I'm thinking about selling books. I'm thinking about trying to figure out how we're going to run a trade show. I'm trying to, I'm thinking about it more of the logistics than I am about the existence. And maybe that's naive of me, but I feel like,
I
see otherwise, I'm not even going to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, the world spins on, man. And you're just on for the ride. That's how I feel too.
Yeah.
It's kind of where Cheyenne and I are at. We've been saving slowly for a house over the past, year.
Nice.
And yeah, it's scary. that's a big conversation,
Large purchase. Yep.
Yeah. And buying a house at 30, cause that's basically where we're going to be at. It feels weird, but we've been saving for a house and we've been having kind of the same ideas, kind of like, should we be preparing for other things instead? And it's like, no, there's no indication that the world's going to end. There's no, things are bad right now and we need to take precautions, but also I need to live my life and I need to provide for people and for myself. And so we've been kind of wrestling with those ideas too, because in the beginning, especially because of how scared I was about getting sick again, we were like overly cautious and almost dumb about it. And now we're kind of leveling out and kind of finding our sweet spot. So
nice.
It's really nice to hear other people having these, or to just talk to real people, cause you listen to like podcasts or you listen to other people like on the news or whatever, talk about these things, but they're not real people. I don't know them.
Right.
So yeah, this is really nice to hear this from somebody that's a grounded person that I know and look up to.
Well, thank you very much. And the success for you as well. That's a congratulations on the house and all the rest, you know, so, but most appreciated.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Lee, I'm really happy you were able to come on and stuff. We can wrap up here in a minute. Do you have anything you want to plug or anything before we jump out?
God, I think I plugged it all, right? I gave everybody all the teasers.
Social medias then.
All our social medias. Let's see. Hashtag Red Planet BNC. Don't fear Red Planet. Or at Red Planet BNC on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. I think it's Red Planet Books. I think that's right. All of our Facebook pages, Digipop X, Red Planet Books and Comics, Native Realities, Wordcraft Circle of Native Writers. And of course, yours truly, Dr. Lee Francis IV. You can find, that's my happy-go-lucky page. Not my angry cranky page. So that's the one that I send new folks to. Is like, I don't know if you want to hear me talking a bunch of smack. So go to the nice page where I'm posting puppies and stuff. I mean, as I always say, and you know this from your space, that like the only way that we can continue to do this work is by people supporting this work, right? So and that's both monetarily, that's sharing the news, that's making connections, doing the networking, right? Connect us up to somebody that can help promote and support, our ongoing work, our ongoing publications, supporting Native creatives. That's the most important part. So that's what I always say to folks is like, if you like what you're hearing, you like what you're seeing, you gotta find ways to support it. Otherwise we don't get to keep doing it. So, help out Native creatives.
Thank you. I'm really glad you said that because I have no way of ever pitching that. I always feel so awkward asking people to share and like the page or the podcast. Yeah, because I don't want to sound like I'm money grubbing, but I mean, I do care about the success of the show. So please go and, give a review and listen and like and share and tell all your friends and stuff, please.
Yep.
It's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. And push it along. And also, we do that all the time. So, for you. Obviously.
Yeah. And also go and support Lee because he's he's trying to sell books. He's trying to make something happen over there in Albuquerque for Native people in a different way that it hasn't happened yet. So make sure you hop over to his website. It'll be in all the links and stuff will be in the description of this episode. Yay. Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks Lee. I really appreciate you, man.
And we'll
talk to you another time.
Thank you so much. And And I know we'll be connected again soon. Take care in the meantime.
Yep. All right. Bye. Bye-bye.